I'm the dopest of the dopest. Hater, I know you know this. My style's still the precious and mine is still the coldest. Don't you lose focus, the paper is still the gold.
Not for $1 million will I sell my soul.
Back against the wall, but I'm in love with the pressure.
3, 2, 1, and we're live. 3ND, Signs in Sports Podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode. This is the round two episode of the 3DFFL season number 3. Welcome back to the show, and welcome back to the show, Kevin Kloss. This is Kyle Orton Memorial. Kevin, say what's up to everybody before we get started.
Hey, everybody. Happy to be back. Happy to still have a roster that is being set to talk about.
Guys, it's going to be a fun episode. I look forward to getting into everything that we need to talk about, Kevin. There is a lot to talk about. It's going to be a juicy episode. As we know, your road to get here was, you know, we're going to talk about it. So, as everybody knows, we're going to talk about the 3DFFL in this first segment. We're going to talk about the league in the second segment. But guys, we are going to talk about matchups from round number 2. So let's do something a little bit different here, Kevin. Let's start by going to the league tab and let's go into the playoff bracket. And let's talk about the playoff bracket first. So we're going to talk about the Wingstop playoff bracket. We're going to talk about round 1. We're going to talk about the recap. We're going to talk about round 2. And then, of course, we'll get into the matchups from there. And we'll talk about everything going forward. How does that sound?
Sounds good, man.
All right, guys. So in round 1 of the winner's bracket, which is what we are going to cover today, the matchup results, we got the number 1 seed, the chosen one, Terrence Pryor, at 10-4 with the bye, as we discussed. We have the number 2 seed, the 3DFFL, at 9-5 with the second bye. And then, of course, matchups from round number 1 were the number 5 seed, Who Wants to Smoke, and the number 4 seed, Drinking from the Cup. And then we had Prison Mike Squad taking on Kyle Orton Memorial in that second wild card weekend matchup. Before we move forward, Kevin, you want to talk about your matchup? Go ahead and click on it. Let's get into that real quick. We had Prison Mike Squad and we had Kyle Orton Memorial. We had standout performances from Josh Allen with 41.28. 362 yards, 4 total touchdowns. We had Amon-Ra St. Brown with 37.3, 14 catches, 193 yards, and a touchdown. And then we had standout performances from Prison Mike Squad with Chase Brown, 26.3 points. And then we will give a head nod to Jackson Smith and Jigba. That was the round 1 matchup. Kevin, you want to go ahead and talk about that?
Cool. You know, it was funny, and Mike alluded to it a little bit last week when he mentioned Amon-Ra St. Brown, who was originally on Prison Mike's squad and then was traded to mine, where he drops 37 that week. But, I mean, what he didn't mention is the other half of that trade is he got Chase Brown from me, right? So he got Chase Brown, who dropped 26. But honestly, like, and this is true of that week, and it's true of the only reason I'm in the playoffs and the only reason I'm even still alive, really, is because of Josh Allen. Josh Allen with 41 in the wild card round. He's the thing where when everyone else is kind of like falling apart, if you get 40 from a guy, and, you know, and in this matchup, Sam Darnold got 11, so I basically was like a net 30. In the rest of that matchup, because my quarterback outperformed his by 30 points. It's when Josh goes crazy like that, like, he just gives me such an advantage, and it's kind of fluky, just because there's weeks he gets, he got like 11 or 12 the following week, but when he drops 40, you know, that helps. And obviously, when he's in a shootout with Detroit, and then I have Amon-Ra St. Brown, it's like that one game nets me almost 50 points. So it's just a big advantage. But, man, Prison Mike's squad legit scared me the whole time, though. You know, when you look at, he didn't have a great week, but, like, when you look at Nico Collins, Khalil Shakir, Jackson Smith and Jigba, all those guys are capable of, like, 25-point days. And they came up a little bit short this week. But Prison Mike's had a good squad all year. Honestly, I put up 175. It's way above my average. Kind of a fluky week for me in that regard.
I mean, 175 points. I'll take that fluky week any week. So, but it was a good matchup. The reason I wanted to go backwards is because, as everybody knows, we had Prison Mike Squad Mike Ortiz on the podcast last week with us. We got to talk about this matchup. And you know, by no coincidence, we have Kevin Kloss here on the show with us this week. So going back to the playoff bracket, Kevin, I'm going to review real quick the wild card matchup results, which was Who Wants to Smoke, the number 5 seed taking on the number 4 seed Drinking from the Cup. And then, of course, like we just talked about, Prison Mike Squad, the number 6 seed, 105.24, taking down Kyle Orton Memorial, 175.68. In the second wild card matchup, we had Who Wants to Smoke advancing over Drinking from the Cup, 135.26 to 123.44. Any comments, opinions, anything you want to say on this matchup, Kevin, before we go forward?
I know this is not what Michael wants to hear. It's not what Drinking from the Cup wants to hear. But I'm so thankful that he got eliminated in the first round. His team was scary as hell. You know, and Mike mentioned it last week, but he's stacking Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Now, they only got 34 combined this week, but Chase has a 50-point week under his belt. I think Burrow's got a couple 30s, so, like, it was 34, but on the wrong week, that can easily be 50-plus from those two guys. He's got Josh Jacobs, who's been a monster this year. And, you know, I talked a little bit to Michael about this in our group chat. But, like, he loses by 12, and Cooper Kupp with a big fat 0. If Cooper Kupp just gets his average, he's projected for 15, if he just does that, then it's a completely different story, and Drinking from the Cup moves on. That's a guy who just, like, that team was scary as hell to me. And so the fact that they got bounced in the first round is kind of wild, But when you look at Who Wants to Smoke, I mean, 26 from James Cook, 26 from CeeDee Lamb, like 19 from T. Higgins. That's tough to overcome. Even just those 26s from CeeDee Lamb and James Cook. Like, when you have someone who just has those kinds of explosive performances, that's tough to overcome. And that's a hell of a matchup, 135, 123. And again, that's with 0 from Cooper Kupp. So my heart goes out to Michael. Probably deserves to still be playing with the squad he put together. But a hell of a year, but you can't take anything away from Dylan. And Who Wants to Smoke, great squad, and they were moving on.
It was a great matchup, both good matchups. Real unfortunate for Prison Mike Squad, like you talked about, Josh Allen and Amon-Ra St. Brown in that shootout with 70 combined points. And you beat him by 75 points. That's a little tough to that's a little tough to see. But those were the two matchups, and as we know, guys, we had the Chosen One, Terrence Pryor, and myself, the 3DFFL, with bye weeks. So going back to the playoff bracket, moving to the second round, what we are actually here to talk about, round two recap, round two matchup results. We are here to talk about the number 5 seed, Who Wants to Smoke, taking on the number 1 seed, the Chosen One, Terrence Pryor. And we are here to talk about, of course, yours truly, Kyle Orton Memorial, Kevin Kloss, in the number 3 seed, taking on the number 2 seed, myself, the 3DFFL. So, to save myself the heartache, let's get it out of the way, Kevin. let's talk about the first matchup of round number 2, where Kyle Orton Memorial took the victory, 123.86 to 110.6, ending my playoff run. It was a little difficult. I'm trying to gather myself right now. But, you know, fantasy football is fantasy football, and we're still in the running for third place, so we still kind of got that shot out there. But, you know, everybody wants a big one. Everybody wants that first place prize, so I'm rooting for you, Kevin. Shout out to, we'll talk about whoever got there on the other side, and go ahead and take the matchup recap away, Kevin, because I need a second to gather myself.
I hear you, man. Well, I mean, on your squad, it should come to no surprise. Saquon Barkley was 27, right? Derrick Henry was 20. Those two guys had been, like, the biggest producers for your team week in and week out, and they were there again in this second round. The Steelers gave you zero, which is not great. You know, the Steelers against Baltimore ended up giving you zero. That's tough to overcome. Matthew Stafford only puts up six. You know, if you were to see that the Rams win, I think you'd hope for at least a little bit more from Stafford. And Jerry Jeudy only puts up four for your team, which is a stark contrast to the week before against Kansas City, where he just went off with double-digit catches, 100-plus yards. He was a beast the week before. And again, if you look at my fluke of a team, I mean, what's the biggest standout? The biggest standout on my team is 26 from a defense. The Falcons defense gives me 26, and I've kind of been playing this Russian roulette with defenses all year, where I was never going to carry two defenses. So once it came to a defense I had that had a bye, I just basically said, well, I'm just going to play a matchup every week. And I looked at the Falcons, I looked at the Giants, and I go, look, I don't think the Falcons are great. But, like, I think the Giants are so bad. I think maybe the Giants won't score. Maybe they'll keep them down. And they got two defensive touchdowns. And they're my highest performer. They're my only performer over 20 points was the Falcons D at 26.5. Now, Amon-Ra St. Brown gets 19. You know, but no one else is really above 15 if you look at it. And so that's 26, okay? If they have even a normal week, which I consider about 10, that's a pretty good week. 10 is pretty good. That would be 16 less, and you lost by 13. So again, and this is just my thing, my team is fluky as hell, man. It's just like if the Falcons are going to get you 26 as a DST, you just got to have the rest of your team not totally crap the bed. And honestly, that Monday Night Football game where you and I were going back and forth, you had Jake Ferguson, I had Rico Dowdle. I was like, man, if Ferguson gets one up the seam and just breaks it, I might lose this thing. So, I get my heart goes out to you because I know if I lost with the Falcons DST getting someone 26, I'd be pissed. But again, you had one of those teams that I was just scared to. I was scared having to match up with Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry because I just know on any given week those guys can just be like, they can just be league winners essentially, right? And they did as much as they could to carry you as far as they could.
So, breaking news. I just realized right now on the podcast as we're talking about it that I lost to a defense in the playoffs. That just made things 100 times worse. That I didn't realize that until we actually broke it down right now. I think when Dowdle and Jake Ferguson were playing each other, I kind of just said, you know what, it's over. Like you said, Ferguson could have broke one, ended up scoring one. Everything could have ended up different. But to see that I didn't know that you didn't have any standout performers, I was about to read them off right now in the same format that I usually do. And as you said, that 26.5 from Atlanta's defense, just streaming off matchups, What a pick. As I told you in the messages, you worked harder on the waiver wire. I rode my two horses and, you know, they got me as far as they did with 27 and 20 going down like that. Matt Stafford giving me six. Very disappointing. I'm a big Matt Stafford fan. That wasn't fun to watch. Jerry Jeudy, as you talked about, giving me four. That was something I wasn't ready for. Pittsburgh's defense was doing astounding for me throughout the year. And, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, as consistent as he is, got it done for you. Your defense, as you talked about, your special teams unit as a whole with Will Lutz starting you off on Thursday night or Wednesday night with 12 points. You know, hey, man, sometimes that's the way it falls and sometimes that's the way it goes. And if you work harder on the waivers, if you're the harder worker, sometimes that one waiver pickup will be the one to get you to the next week. So shout out to you, Kevin. You know, I know I sit here. I know it's devastating. I'm devastated. But at the end of the day, I am happy for you. Congratulations. And we are going to go on to, you know, talk about the next round. But before we move off this matchup and talk about the second one, Anything else before we move off it?
No, I just think that, like, your team is like, and I know, like, it sucks to sit there afterwards and be like, I lost to a DST, but, like, your team actually, I actually don't even know how I beat your team, I'll be honest, because Saquon and Derrick Henry are so good. I feel like, I have to look the stats up, I feel like Jordan Addison scores a touchdown about every week, and again, if Jerry Jeudy has, like, close to the week he had before, if the Steelers, you know, even give you something that's average, it's totally different. No, I thought, similar to most weeks that I've played in this league, I look at this and I go, man, the guy I'm going against, the girl I'm going against, so smart, so good, they got such a good team, it's so well managed. That's why, this is one of my favorite leagues, I'm not saying it because I'm on the podcast, this is one of my favorite leagues, because I feel like everyone is competitive, regardless of, like, how the draft went, what the power rankings say their team should be. I feel like everyone is so competitive in this league, and that's why I've enjoyed it, like, week in and week out.
I agree, I've said that on podcasts, whether by myself or with a guest. I think there's a lot of competitive people who, like you said, from start to finish, no matter how the draft went, they went about it the way they should have. And I hope to see a lot of them back, because those are the types of players that you want to keep around. The second matchup, guys, of round number two that we were going to talk about, we had the number one seed, the chosen one, Terrence Pryor, taking a devastating second round loss, first appearance in the playoffs, round two to Who Wants to Smoke, 154.52 to 98.24. That one had to be crushing. Standout performances for the chosen one from Jahmyr Gibbs, 25.4 with 109 yards and a touchdown. We talked about him last week about how you can't sleep on him on the ground, because 109 yards, you know, he had four catches for 45 yards, did his job. We had a standout performance from A.J. Brown with eight catches, 97 yards, and a touchdown. We had negative two from the defense, Brian Robinson Jr. in the flex with 2.1. Trey McBride in the tight end with five. And of course, as we know, Aaron Rodgers with 12.84 at quarterback. Aaron Rodgers was very much less than a coin toss this year, so that one was difficult. 11.9 from Tyreek Hill was surprising to see there towards the end, how he started kind of averaging a lot less points. But standout performers from Who Wants to Smoke, we had Baker Mayfield, love me some Bake May, 22.32 points, 303 yards, two touchdowns, an interception. Standout performance from James Cook at running back, 27.6, 100 yards, two total touchdowns. He also had three catches, 26 yards, and a touchdown reception. And then we had a standout performance from Brock Bowers with 11 catches for 99 yards, 20.9 points. And then we got three head nods. T. Higgins, eight catches, 58 yards, and a touchdown for 19.8. Bucky Irving, 68 yards and a touchdown for 18.2. And CeeDee Lamb, seven catches for 105 yards, 17.5 points. Damn. Kevin, that is a lineup. but, so mine looked good on paper too. So at the end of the day, you never really know what will or can happen at the end of the day when it comes to fantasy football. Any comments on this matchup, and go ahead and give your opinion.
I want to be very transparent here. As my matchup is happening parallel to this one, and I think, hey, there's a chance I might win. I might be in the finals. I'm peeking at this matchup to be like, all right, am I going to score more than whoever's going to come out on top over here? So I can kind of in my head be like, all right, am I on par with who I would have to beat next week? And early on, I was like, yeah, I think I might lead the league in scoring this week. And then I saw what Who Wants to Smoke did, and I go, no, I'm not on par. Like, I'm not, like, leading this thing. So, his team just went off. I mean, you said it, Baker had a great week, James Cook had a great week, Brock Bowers had a great week. And, like, you can always wonder about, like, oh, what if I started this guy or hadn't started that guy? Who Wants to Smoke? I know we don't really do a lot on benches, but on his bench, Patrick Mahomes, 23, Jameson Williams, 26, Bo Nix, 21. So, like, even if he had gone to the bench a little bit there, Jerome Ford, 24.
Oh my God.
He's got almost another full starting lineup worth of 100. His bench scored 125, okay? His bench scored 125 points. And remember, that's like, what, 7 guys? And one of those is a DST. So, like, his bench went off. So, and I would say this to Terrence Pryor and the Chosen One. Great team. 10-4, first place in Zone 3 division. I was in that division with him, and that was like a nightmarish matchup whenever I had to go up against him. And it's a great team he's got, you know. Gibbs, Aaron Jones, A.J. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Trey McBride, Brian Robinson Jr. have been putting up some steady numbers. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Some weeks, you just get got. And this was just a week where Who Wants to Smoke was bringing all of the smoke, both as starters and his bench. And we said it before, if someone just drops like 150 plus on you, it's hard to overcome that no matter what's going on with your team. And this is just one of those weeks, you know. Hats off to Who Wants to Smoke. And again, nothing to be ashamed of for the Chosen One. Great season.
What a second round of matchups. As you guys know, it is playoff time. It is playoff season. So we do only talk about playoff matchups. Who Wants to Smoke taking on Kyle Orton Memorial in the 3DFFL Season 3 Championship? The number 5 seed Who Wants to Smoke at 8-6 taking on the number 3 seed Kyle Orton Memorial at 9-5, Kevin Kloss. It is the championship. It is what everybody has been waiting for. Before we get into the championship matchup and discuss the matchup side by side, Kevin, we are going to talk about the third place game, which will go on between the 3DFFL and the Chosen One, Terrence Pryor. We got the fifth place game, Prison Mike Squad taking on Drinking from the Cup. We have the seventh place game, Tizzle Bun taking on Star Gang. We have the ninth place game, Mixing Things Up and Hawk to a Shit Show. And then, of course, we have the 11th place game between Florida Boy and the Gus Empire. We're only going to talk about the championship matchup, and we're only going to discuss what it looks like, because the next episode is the final episode. The next episode is the championship episode. It's the championship results. And whoever ends up winning the championship will be the next one on the show. So either we'll have you on for a third time, Kevin, or we'll have Mr. Dylan Turpin, Who Wants to Smoke, on for the first time for his first appearance as the 3DFFL champion. So it's going to be a wild matchup. Kevin, go ahead and take over. Talk about the matchup and, you know, go ahead and express what you got going forward.
You know, I don't deserve to be in this game. What I want to just start off with. And we can get into that maybe retroactively in a few minutes. But when I look at what Who Wants the Smoke is trotting out there, I see like a lot of firepower. Baker Mayfield going up against Carolina, I think that's a great matchup for him. James Cook against the Jets. I don't love it for James Cook, but he's been so good recently that I think that's a lot of firepower. He's got Bucky Irving again against Carolina. Bucky Irving's been doing a lot. Breaking news as of today, CeeDee Lamb shut down the rest of the season.
Ooh.
So he's going to have to pull CeeDee Lamb out, because CeeDee Lamb's going to give him a zero. So he's going to have to pull him out and dip into that bench. I'm not going to lie, that helps me a ton, right? Like, CeeDee Lamb, premier wide receiver in this league. For him to have to go without him, that's a big advantage to me. But T. Higgins against Denver on Saturday, Brock Bowers against New Orleans. New Orleans apparently not aware of how to tackle in the National Football League. Ladd McConkle, he's having such a great rookie year. I think he's got a ton of firepower. And then he's taking a page out of my book. He's grabbed the Colts defense because they're playing the Giants. We saw what the Falcons did against the Giants. I will say this. So we're recording this kind of midway point of the week. You know, we've had some games that have taken place. And what's just a bad beat is he has, you know, Who Wants to Smoke has the Houston kicker, who is like the number three kicker on the year, putting up tons of points. The Texans just got steamrolled. There were no field goal attempts. There were no extra points. So he got pulls a zero. I should feel better about my chances because he doesn't have CeeDee Lamb. And he got a zero from Fairburn, but I don't know. I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough for me to put up enough points for me to hang with him, you know. But if I'm going to do it, it's going to be on the back of Josh Allen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen on Josh Allen going apocalyptic like he has in the past. But I think it's going to be good. You know, I think it's going to be a good matchup, though. Real tight game, hopefully.
Let me, guys, for those of you who don't have your fantasy football app pulled up right now, let me read off to you the matchups per position side by side. We got Who Wants to Smoke trotting out Baker Mayfield. Kyle Orton Memorial trotting out Josh Allen at quarterback. We got James Cook for Who Wants to Smoke. DeAndre Swift for Kyle Orton Memorial. We got Bucky Irving and Tyjae Spears. Tyjae Spears on in the running back too. Of course, as we talked about, CeeDee Lamb not going to be able to go for the rest of the year, taking on Puka Nacua. We got T. Higgins in the wide receiver too, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, Brock Bowers and Mark Andrews, Ladd McConkey and Garrett Wilson, Indianapolis's defense versus Miami's defense. And then, of course, Kaimi Fairbairn and Will Lutz. This is the championship game. Who Wants to Smoke? Kyle Orton Memorial. As Kevin talked about, we are middle point of the week. We have DeAndre Swift with 7 points, 11 yards rushing, 3 catches, 29 yards for Kyle Orton Memorial. We have Mark Andrews with 14.8, 2 catches, 68 yards, and a touchdown. And then, of course, we have Kaimi Fairbairn with 0 points in the kicker spot for Who Wants to Smoke. The way it sits currently, Kevin, I mean, listen here, if you're a veteran, if you're a seasoned fantasy football player, nobody listens to the win probability, okay? Let's put that out there first of all. So I hear you trying to be humble. I hear you trying to, you know, hey, let's take it easy. It's a long weekend. But guys, I will let you know, as we sit here and we look at it, win probability, Kyle Orton Memorial 65%, Who Wants to Smoke 35%. Most of that being because CeeDee Lamb is still in the lineup and he needs to replace him with what it looks like Marvin Harrison Jr. Another break that it looks like you might have caught, Kevin, is Patrick Mahomes going for 320 yards and 3 touchdowns against Pittsburgh for 26 points. So it's Baker Mayfield or die. You know what I mean? So it is the championship. It is a championship. The final matchup next week, we will talk about, you know, it will be the last episode. And like I said, whoever wins, either you or Dylan, we'll get you on to talk about it. And maybe we'll have the other one come on and talk about it as well. Who knows what'll happen? It's a championship episode, right? But other than that, Kevin, let's move on to, we can exit the matchups. We can exit the playoff bracket. Let's go to the power rankings. For the last time, guys, second to the last time, we got the fantasy football power rankings. These things aren't gonna change, I don't think, at this point. I think they're stuck with what they are in the regular season. Yeah, I think so. But we'll just read it anyway. So, fantasy football power rankings presented by Snickers. Overperformed, as we know, the 3DFFL overperforming 9 spots from number 11 to number 2. Kyle Orton Memorial overperforming 9 spots from number 12 to number 3, and now in the championship game. The Chosen One, Terrence Pryor, overperforming 5 spots from number 6 to number 1. And then, of course, we have underperformed the Gus Empire, underperforming 9 spots from number 2 to number 11. And as we know, Gus, maybe your team just needed a snicker because they are not them when they're hungry. The next thing we're going to talk about is the final standings. And before, once we're finished with the final standings, and we can kind of just riff a little bit, and then we'll close it out. Kevin, how does that sound?
That sounds great.
All right. So we got the standings, guys. As we talked about, we had Zone 3. We had Zone D. In Zone 3, the Chosen One coming in first place, record 10-4. Kyle Orton Memorial, number 2. Kevin Kloss at 9-5. Who Wants to Smoke? Dylan Turpin at 8-6. Prison Mike Squad, Mike Ortiz at 8-6 as well, tied for third. Tizzle Bun, JT, that's my boy, as everybody knows, 6-7-1. And the number 5 seed in Zone 3. Florida Boy, number 6 at 3-11. And in Zone D, we had the 3DFFL at 9-5. Drinking from the Cup in the number 2 spot, 8-6, Michael McMahon. In the 3 spot, we had Star Gang, Mary Williams, 7-6-1. The 4 spot, we had Hawk Tua, another championship before it turned into a shit show. Keith Dyer, the reigning defending champion from last year. We had the number 5 seed in Zone D, mixing things up, Sam Jones, 5-9. And then, of course, we had the Gus Empire at number 6, 4-10. So thank you, everybody, who did participate this year. Thank you for supporting the podcast, for supporting the platform. Everybody, thank you for being a good sport. Kevin, before we close out this segment, how has the year been for you? You talked about your team. You say it's a bunch of smoke and mirrors. Let's talk about one more time going forward into the championship matchup. You know, it's good to be humble, but you got there. You know what I mean? So there's, like you said, like we talked about, you're going to at least double your return from what you paid to enter. So that's already a positive. And you have a chance to go for the whole damn thing. So how do you feel going forward? How do you feel going into the weekend? I know we've talked about it, but how do you feel, man? Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. I think it's important to look back before we look forward.
Let's do it.
And in case it was lost on anybody, when we drafted this league, I was projected in the power rankings dead last. Okay? I was 12 out of 12. So, the fact that we're even talking about if I'm going to win the league is insane to me, given that after the draft, I'm dead last. Like, with a bullet, dead last. And the other thing that no one else should have paid attention to but me is in the last regular season week, I've got like a one-game cushion for a playoff spot. But if I tie with somebody, I'm going to lose every tiebreaker because I'm like the 6th best scoring team in this league. So I'm gonna lose the tiebreaker in the last week if I don't win. And going into the 4 o'clock games, I'm not going to win. I'm going to lose. And my season's over. Honestly, I was pissed about it. Because I was like, man, I really thought if I got in, I could make some noise. I'm not even going to make the freaking playoffs. I'm so mad. And then the Bills and the Rams kick off. And Josh Allen drops 50. And Puka drops 40. I get 90 between two guys, and I get into the playoffs. So when you look at the way, what do you talk? I was last in the power rankings after the draft, and I needed 90 from two guys in one game to get in. It's absurd that we're even talking to me right now. It's insane. So when I say to you it's all smoke and mirrors, like, obviously, yeah, you have to win weeks, you have to have good performances, you have to have enough guys to win weeks. But, like, there's just so many weird things where you go, oh, shit, my season should have died here. I should have been done with here. This shouldn't have worked out. And it just kind of did. So, how do I feel going into the championship round? I feel better knowing he doesn't have CeeDee Lamb. I feel better knowing his kicker. And what's a fluke? His kicker gets a 0. You know, I don't usually like to change from what I've been doing all year, but I felt like I had to make a different. I think I have to put up a lot of points to win. And so, I mean, you said it when you went through and looked at the matchups. But for the first time all year, I'm starting Tajay Spears. So I haven't started him all year. He's been on my roster the entire season. I haven't started him once. I don't trust Rico Dowdle against the Eagles. And his last two games, Spears has put 27 and 21. Pollard's a little banged up. And that's kind of what this is going to come down to for me is, does Spears have a real good week like that again? And does Garrett Wilson take advantage of a beat-up Buffalo secondary? Because if those guys can give me solid numbers, I'm not concerned about Josh Allen. I'm not concerned about Puka. I'm not concerned about Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think the Dolphins defense is going to just kind of like go crazy on Cleveland. Lots of kicks and field goals for Detroit. For Denver. But if I can get one or two of those guys who aren't like killing it this year to get 15, 17, 20 points, I think I'll be okay. But it does worry me a lot. Baker Mayfield, James Cook, Brock Bowers, T. Higgins. Who wants to smoke's a great roster. And you're right, I don't trust the projections at all. I don't trust, it says I have a 65% chance of winning. I believe that for a second. Because I'm pretty sure when I got 90 from Josh Allen and Puka, I was at like a 9% chance to win.
Oh.
So like, I don't trust it at all. But I'm thrilled to be there, you know. I just happened to join this league, and I was like, hey, let the chips fall where they may. When I saw we were going to finish, we were 12th in the power rankings. I'm just happy to be around, you know. Everyone's league's been so, so awesome. Like, you've been great. Prison Mike's been great to deal with. You know, who wants to smoke? And Dylan, he and I had some trade talks before the deadline. And again, we weren't able to hammer out a deal. But he's a great guy. He's been great to talk to. Everyone in this league's been phenomenal. But obviously, yeah, I hope I win the whole thing. That would make it even better, right?
I guess that leaves one question. Kevin, do you believe in miracles? Because it seems like that's what it's going to take to knock off Who Wants to Smoke and that lineup.
I'm aware, trust me.
It looks like the fantasy gods may be working. You know, CD's unfortunately going to miss the last two games. You know, you never know. It is fantasy football, as we talk about. It is a wild game. It's an up and it is the luck of the draw any given Sunday, like Mike Ortiz said. And like Willie Beeman said, any given Sunday, anything can happen. If you want, we can dissect that choice that you have between Tyjae Spears, and we can look at his roster. I mean, his game log for 2024 before we go ahead and close this out. Because I am curious between him and Rico Dowdle. I know Rico Dowdle's been pretty steady for Dallas over the last few weeks. Have you made that decision, or is that going to be a decision that's like leading up to game day? Because how are you feeling as far as setting your lineup? Are you set, or are you still like, okay, there's decisions to be made? I wish Dylan were here so I could ask him the same thing.
So I don't think I'm going to tweak it at all, but I could change my mind. So let's talk about it a little bit. It's like, we could go through and look at the Tyjae Spears game log if you want, but he's been hurt a big chunk of the year, and he's got a ton of weeks where he has, like, less than 7 carries, okay?
No, yeah, so, that's what I expected.
Right, so he doesn't have a lot there. Here's the way I look at it. If Pollard has been a DNP for practice recently, he's been limited just like he has the last 2 weeks when we've seen an uptick, not just in, you know, yardage, but also he's getting receiving yards and he's scoring touchdowns both on the ground and in the air. I think if I start Rico Dowdle, what I'm basically saying is like, hey, get me 8 points because Philly is a good run defense.
Yeah.
Without CeeDee Lamb, I can't imagine they're going to do anything but stack the box against that Dallas team. And quite frankly, I don't think 8 points is going to win it, is going to do it.
That's true.
So, like, and there's a shot that Tyjae Spears gets me 4. But I think there's a chance he gets me, like, 15 or 20 if he gets that workload. And Tennessee sucks. So, like, they're going to be losing. No, they're playing Jacksonville, who, by the way, newsflash, also sucks. So, like, I think Spears is going to have a shot at a lot of touches. I think his ceiling is higher than Dowdle's, but undoubtedly his floor is also lower. I just think I have to swing for something big. Now, if my guys who play Saturday blow up, like Puka goes nuts and Will Lutz has 8 field goals, maybe then I could think about, and he's got some guys going Saturday too, T. Higgins, Ladd McConkey. If those guys kind of like wet the bed, maybe I would consider switching it for the safety that is Rico Dowdle. But it's too early to say. And yeah,
but you need a boom.
Yeah, and do I understand it's a dumb idea to start Tajay Spears when I haven't started him all year and he really has like 2 or 3 good weeks the whole season? Yeah, I do.
No, I mean, hey, I mean, it's a decision that most people, it's good to talk about it because it's a decision that most people are faced with, not even just in a championship setting, but just week to week where you're looking at a running back who has had, who's coming off injury or missing a few weeks or a bye week. They have 2 20-point games, and then you have a running back who's had 5 15 to 20-point games, and you have to make that decision. Are you going to go for the guy who could give you 30, or are you going to go for the 10 points? But like I said, we're not here to make the decision for you as much as we just wanted to hear your mind, your mindset, your how you kind of think about it, how you go through it, sort through it. You know, for anybody who's listening, who's not in the league or whoever is just getting into fantasy football. But Kevin Kloss, I do wish you good luck. Congratulations. You know, you knocked me out of the playoffs. A little special shout out to Mike. I believe you beat him in the first round as well. Or yeah, you did. Yep. So, you know, both of us, I believe that I speak for both of us when I say that we tip our cap to you, and whatever happens, may the best man win between you and Dylan Turpin. And next week is championship weekend, and we get to see, or this weekend is championship weekend, and we will be getting on the podcast with the champion. So we look forward to that. Maybe it'll be you, maybe it'll be Dylan. But before we go, Kevin, as you know, you got the platform. Just say bye, say a few motivational words, inspirational words, your goodbye, whatever it is you would like to say before we wrap this thing up.
I just want to say I think it's great our championship round is a 3 seed and a 5 seed, first of all. outside of that, I just want to say, like, if you play in, like, a dozen leagues or if you play in, like, 3 leagues, I only joined this league because I was burnt out in, like, a bunch of leagues I'd been in year after year, mostly dynasty leagues. And I was like, you know what, this year I'm going to try something completely different. And I saw a post in a Facebook group about $100 buy-in league, and I said, you know what, screw it. Here's my $100, we're gonna go in and we're gonna do it. And it's been great, like I said, you know, great commish, I will say right now, great commish. Active owners, a great group of people to talk to, a great group of people to, like, engage with. And here's the thing that, like, I think so many people who play in a ton of leagues forget about, like, and I say this to some buddies of mine, this is supposed to be fun, right? Like, don't get me wrong, I love to come in first. That's a nice chunk of change, you know, to win. The money's never something I'm going to be unhappy about.
For sure.
But I don't play it for the money. Like, I can make money for other places.
Yeah.
Find that league where you get good vibes. Find that league where you feel like people are, like, not, like, there to tear each other down, but have a good time and be supportive and, like, just, you know, talk shit, but, like, in a fun way, in a way that's not, like, demeaning or rude. And that's what I feel like I found in this league, and I'm appreciative of that. And yeah, that's what I got, man. I'm thankful for you. You know, if I end up going down this week and we don't speak again on the pod next week, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for what you do for the league. Thank you for what you do with the podcast. It's much appreciated.
Well, we appreciate you taking a chance on us, Kevin. And as we know, we do hope to have you back next year. I believe you're in the Discord, so we should be in contact for the rest of the off season. As you know, also, we have Madden tournaments, NCAA tournaments. We have GTA RP that we're going to be doing through the off season. We got music that we're doing all the time. So there's plenty of reasons for us to keep in touch in the Discord. So I don't see why not. And I do look forward to it. And as far as next year, if this is the last time we talk, I do hope to see you again in the league next year. And before we do wrap up this segment, I just want to say a special shout out to the 3DFFL team members. They worked hard since May We got an early start on recruiting for fantasy football. You know, they had their fair share of trials in their first year doing this and recruiting and going through the, you know, all the basics of fantasy football. But shout out to the 3DFFL team members. They did a great job this year, and we made it. Next week is the championship season. Kevin, as I said already 100 times, good luck. Congratulations again. It was an awesome time having you on, man. And we will talk to you in the group chat very soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, man.
But that being said, guys, this is going, as we usually do, we are going to play a song in the middle of this episode. That song is going to be Group Chat, produced by Chach with the Heat by DIG. If you like the song, go check it out on Spotify at DIG. And yeah, guys, we'll catch you on the other side.
Hey, hold up, my bad.
What you know about Chach with the Heat?
She's going crazy. In the group chat, said what's happening. Talking about this money, this business is all be cashing. I made a group chat and said what's happening. I threw them all in, talking shit, they mad again. We in the group chat, I know what's happening. I'm talking about this money, these businesses all be cashing in. We in the group chat, ding ding. Dreaming better, let my baby pick all of my gold rings. In the group chat, ding ding. I represent the city when I show these diamonds on my teeth. A lot of late nights, Jesse felt like therapy. And Brooklyn calling said these girls, they can't compare to me. And now it's clear to see my baby don't like sharing me. The price to be my lady, just one wife, it don't seem fair to me. Coop sesh, Kelsey twisted up, she know I'm stressed. Alex calling me like, baby, you know what I meant. And Jenna with it, ain't offended, three-way, she the ref. Elena, Lucy, love my baby, yeah, they kids my best. I want Amelia, I want a friend. I want to pull up with Ashley, she in the Benz. Still want to do this, I'll do that shit all again. I want to fly to Finland, G5 with a friend. Told her, don't be playing, get some money. Everything I do for something. We don't do this shit for nothing. If I said I got it, I ain't bluffing. All my ladies sit together kissing in the shower while they baking something. I made a group chat and said what's happening. I threw them all in, talking shit, they mad again. We in the group chat, I know what's happening. I'm talking about this money, these businesses all be cashing in. We in the group chat, ding ding. Dreaming better, let my baby pick all of my gold rings. In the group chat, ding ding. I represent the city when I show these diamonds on my teeth. Pretty women rub their fingers through my hair. Talking, popping off, and I don't really care. She taking pictures, blowing smoke up in the air. She got her angels and they don't really care. Love her ego, her estilo, mi amigo, she so frio. And what she want is just for us to be a trio. She got a baby and a baddie and she pulling up. I told her, baby, when you pull up, you should know what's up. Now she turning up. White girl sipping white wine, bubble up. Bundle up, where we going? It's snowing. You been to Germany in the winter, mean the product is growing. It's just light work. I just pray the lights work. God sent me to get it, using me to show how light work. Who'd have thought it'd been the mic work? Pressure make your pipe burst. Turn to a diamond, so I'm feeling like I made a mic check and said what's happening. I threw them all in, talking shit, they mad again. We in the group chat, I know what's happening. I'm talking about this money, these businesses all be cashing in. We in the group chat, ding ding. Dreaming better, let my baby pick all of my gold rings. In the group chat, ding ding. I represent the city when I show these diamonds on my teeth. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. This is the 3DFFL season number 3. As you know, this is the round 2 recap of the 3DFFL of the league. And this segment is the round 2 recap of the league. Guys, that song was Group Chat. If you like the song, you can find it on Spotify. You can find it on Spotify at DIG, produced by Chach with the Heat. Shout out to True, and welcome to round 2 of the playoffs. And that being said, welcome our second guest of the podcast. This is one of the 3DFFL team members, guys. Shout out to her. I shout out the 3DFFL team members at the beginning for all the hard work that they did. Brooke, welcome to the show and say what's up to everybody.
Hey guys, this is Brooklyn. I'm one of the 3DFFL team members, and this is actually my first time on the podcast. So if I stutter a lot, I'm sorry, but I'm very excited to be here today.
All right, Brooke. Well, we're excited to have you. It's been a very, very long year. And as I've talked about multiple times, as I've talked about with you, I am very drained. So having guests on the podcast with me get me a little more excited to get through the podcast, because right now I'm experiencing the podcast blues. So I'm ready to have an exciting episode. I'm ready to talk about everything fantasy football, and let's talk about round one of the league and how that went. So go ahead and pull up your playoff bracket for me. Okay, so in the winner's bracket in round one, guys, as we talked about last week, we talked about the winner's bracket. Seed number one went to Infinity and Bijan, 11-3. The second seed went to yours truly, Gifted and Gorgeous, in her first year ever playing fantasy football, 10-4. The two wildcard matchups that we had to talk about were the number five seed and the number four seed taking on each other. Strange Animals at 8-6 and Design Gifted at 9-5. And then we had the number 6 seed and the number 3 seed, the Flame Boys at 7-7 in the 6 seed, and Quater Tots in the 3 seed at 9-5. So before we get into the matchups, before we get into the wildcard weekend, Brooklyn, you not only made the playoffs this year, but you clinched a... You won your division, and you also clinched a bye week. How did that feel to you? Do you understand how important that is? How was that go? How did you do it?
I have no idea. whenever I found out that I clinched a bye week, I didn't know what that even meant, honestly. Nor did I realize the significance of it. But I have no clue how I did it. It was honestly beginner's luck. But I think next year I'll be more prepared, and I know what players I don't want on my roster, so I'm very excited to try it. But it's crazy that I even got a bye week.
And it is, and I watched you. We played together all year. We played together every week. It was a fun experience seeing you, you know, cram your research in a week before draft day and then do as well as you did. It was pretty impressive, you know, to say the least. So in the Wingstop playoffs presented by Wingstop, guys, we got two matchups to talk about. We got the wild card matchups. We got the number 5 and 4 seed, Strange Animals, Design Gifted, and we have Flame Boys and Quater Tots. And of course, we had, as we said, the number 1 seed, 2 Infinity and Bijan on a bye, and the number 2 seed, Gifted and Gorgeous. The number 5 seed and number 4 seed, the matchup results for round 1, we talked about it week 1, 112.44 for Strange Animals to 121.6 for Design Gifted. Design Gifted moving forward. Flame Boys 109.56, Quater Tots 133.8, with Quater Tots moving forward as well. Bringing us to round two. This is where, Brooklyn, you actually get into action. In round two, we have two matchups. We have the number 4 seed, Design Gifted, at 9-5, taking on the number 1 seed, 2 Infinity and Bijan, at 11-3. And then, of course, we have the Queen of the League tournament coming to a conclusion in round two. The number 3 seed, Quater Tots, and the number 2 seed, Gifted and Gorgeous. Let's talk about my matchup first, and then we'll get into yours. That way we can spend a little bit more time on yours. Click on my matchup real quick and let me know when you're there. Okay, so first matchup of round number two, guys, we had Design Gifted taking on the number 1 seed, 2 Infinity and Bijan. The matchup results 147.36 to 136.3. With Design Gifted moving on to the championship with standout performances from Justin Herbert, 22.16, 284 yards and 2 touchdowns. Saquon Barkley, of course, continuing his tear through the fantasy football season this year as one of the elite running backs in the league, 27 points, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns. Ja'Marr Chase, 22.4 points as well, also continuing his tear as, if I'm not mistaken, the number 1 wide receiver in the NFL as well, with 6 catches, 97 yards, and a touchdown, 22.4 points. Saquon Barkley, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns, 27 points, and Justin Herbert with 22.16, 284 yards, 2 touchdowns. Standout performances from Tua Infinity and Bijan. We had Bijan Robinson with 24.3, 94 yards, 2 touchdowns. We had Brock Bowers with 20.9 in the tight end spot with 11 catches, 99 yards. And then we had James Conner in the James Conner in the OP, 26.6 points, 117 yards rushing, and 1 touchdown. So before I comment, Brooklyn, do you have any opinions, any comments, anything to say on the matchup?
I'm very happy with who was the winner. It was a tough matchup. I remember looking in the fantasy app, and you guys were neck to neck until, like, the very last game. So it's kind of exciting to see what direction that ended up going in, because with fantasy football, it can go either way, honestly. So it was pretty cool to see how close it was and then to see how many points you got from just one game.
So my opinion, guys, I told you. I told you, you know, so Brandon, Trey, JT, Brooke, Noe, you know, I told you guys I was going to go back to the championship. And let me just make something very clear real quick, because I don't like to toot my own horn, guys. You guys know this, but this is the fourth year in a row that I've made it to the championship in the league. So I think we need to, you know, if I win it, I think, we got a pretty good storyline going into next year with first person to win a three-peat between myself and Strange Animals. I don't want to jinx it, but Herm, I think I'm going to win, so good luck. I'm just kidding, guys. You know I like to joke around, but I do mean it. So, Brooklyn, you ready to get into your matchup? All right, so we got matchup number 2 of round 2. This is the league playoffs. We had Quater Tots versus Gifted and Gorgeous. There was a ongoing storyline, guys, throughout the year. The queen of the league. As we know, Quater Tots has been around for a little while. Gifted and Gorgeous entering the league this year and, you know, storming into the league, making the playoffs, winning divisions. They played, if I'm not mistaken, 2 times. 3 times. They played 2 times in the regular season, and this will be part number 3. So part 3 of the Queen of the League tournament. In their first matchup, Gifted and Gorgeous took the loss 97.64 to 134.14. In their second matchup, Gifted and Gorgeous took the loss 95.32 to 120.06. And here in round 2 of the playoffs, guys, could Gifted and Gorgeous avenge herself? Could she take the title of Queen of the League from Quater Tots? With the outcome 120.06 to 95.32, we have Gifted and Gorgeous's Cinderella story coming to an end. 120.06 to 95.32, Quater Tots advancing to the championship for a championship rematch from 2 years ago when I got my first ring. That's why I feel so confident about it. But Brooke, let's get into the matchup. Let's discuss what happened, and let's let you have your moment, okay? All right, so Quater Tots 120.06 to Gifted and Gorgeous 95.32. Standout performances for Quater Tots: 21.98 from Joe Burrow, 252 yards and 3 touchdowns. And then a standout performance from her second quarterback, Kyler Murray: 20.38 points, 202 yards and 2 total touchdowns with 1 rushing. Standout performers for Gifted and Gorgeous: 21.02 from Bo Nix, 263 yards and 2 touchdowns, ending his fantasy football year, at least in this league, you know, after having a pretty, I don't know if it was expected, but a lot better of a season than I expected him to have. And a head nod to Davante Adams with 19.8, 7 catches, 68 yards, and a touchdown. Brooklyn, would you like to comment on this matchup and what is your opinion on what happened? And go ahead and talk about some of the players that you also had on your bench.
Okay, so actually, if I was going to lose to anybody in the playoffs, I'm actually happy that it was Fern. I have a lot of respect for her, and I thought that it was super awesome to know that there was another girl playing fantasy football, as well as Mary in the 3DFFL. I didn't know that girls played fantasy football, and I'm sure that surprises a lot of people, but I was not really aware of that. But I'm very happy that I lost to her, because actually I remember having a conversation with you and telling you, I don't care to make it to the playoffs. I don't care if I lose every single match, as long as I win one match, just to prove that I could do it. So the fact that I even made it this far is, you know, absolutely insane. But on my bench, I'm actually kind of disappointed because I have Derrick Henry on my bench, because for several weeks he was scoring me less than 15 points, so I benched him because he wasn't getting me the numbers that I hoped he would, and actually having him bench this game could possibly be the reason why I lost. As well as Deebo Samuel, he is also on my bench for several weeks. He got me less than 10 points, when in the beginning he was getting me 20-plus points per game. So I didn't know if he had an injury or if he just wasn't playing as much, but he stopped getting me points. So I had him benched, and he would have got me 25.1 points, and Derrick Henry would have got me 20.9 points. So if I had them on my lineup, I definitely would have won, but I had no clue what I was doing. So the points that they actually got per week, I focused way more on than the projected points. So had I really looked into his scoring, I would have been a little bit more prepared. But I'm really happy that I lost to Herm. And I know that sounds insane, but it's just because I didn't expect myself to make it this far. So it didn't matter that I lost to her. I'm totally fine with her being queen of the league, because deserves it, and it's super cool seeing a girl do it, because I wasn't sure if I'd be able to, and now that I know, I look forward to actually having a 3DFFF. Oh, that's supposed to be 3Fs, but we're going to actually be having a 3DFFL all-female league opening up next year, so I'm extremely excited for that. Yeah.
So, great effort all throughout the year, as I've told you every week. But I want to tell you now, great effort, impressive season. You know, Herm started off the same way, came in with the bang, got into the championship, and then here she is, second time in the championship. So who knows what's in store for Gifted and Gorgeous and Miss Brooklyn. I look forward to seeing what happens going forward. Those are the two matchups that happened in round number two. Speaking of the 3D triple FL, like you said, guys, next year we've talked about it on the podcast. We're going to be doing the 3D triple FL. If you guys have sisters, mothers, girlfriends, whatever the case may be, nieces, and they want to play fantasy football and they want to do it in an area where it is all women, in group chats controlled by women, then the 3D triple FL is for them. You know, we have a community that we care about here. We do our best to keep everything organized and together, and we want it to be a positive community. So we can't wait to see the people that are willing to participate and support the platform going forward. Let's talk about the round three matchup in the playoffs. This is the Wingstop playoffs presented by Wingstop. This is a championship matchup. That means we have 1 week left, one podcast left, and we will decide who will be the next winner of the league. So we have the number 4 seed, Design Gifted, 9-5, taking on the number 3 seed, Quater Tots, in a rematch from the championship from 2 years ago, 2022. 3 years ago, I'm sorry, excuse me, 3 years ago in 2021. A rematch of the championship from 3 years ago in 2021. We got Design Gifted and Quater Tots. Go ahead and open up that tab and let's talk about the matchup. And then we will close this thing out. Just about. All right, guys. So, Design Gifted versus Quater Tots in round 3 in the championship episode. That's what we're going to be talking about next week. We got Justin Herbert at quarterback for Design Gifted. Joe Burrow at quarterback for Quater Tots. We got Saquon Barkley at running back for Design Gifted. Rashad White at running back for Quater Tots. We have Jamar Chase and Mike Evans at receiver for Design Gifted. AJ Brown and Puka Nacua for Quater Tots. In the tight end, we have Kyle Pitts for Design Gifted and George Kittle for Quater Tots. We have Bucky Irving taking on Kyler Murray in the OP. Buda Baker taking on Eric Kendricks in the defensive player. Cincinnati's defense taking on Denver's defense in the defense and special teams category. And then, of course, kicker, we have Jason Sanders going up against Kaimi Fairbairn, who has already played and put up 0 points, 0 field goals, 0 extra points. So, advantage going forward, something to look forward to. Can't rest your hat on it, but, you know, it's a good sign. Any comments, opinions before we close out the matchups, Brooke?
It's going to be a close one. I think you should look out for George Kittle because I have absolutely regretted trading him since I did. So just keep your eyes on that. I see that the win probability is in your favor. So I still believe it's going to be neck and neck.
And as we talk about, guys, we don't always pay attention to win probability. A lot of things can go wrong if you rely on that. But next week is the championship episode. This is the league. Design Gifted taking on Quater Tots rematch from 2021. It's going to be one to look forward to. The next thing we're going to talk about, Brooklyn, is we're going to talk about the standings. And we're going to talk about how the East turned out, which is Candyland. And then the West, which is Boomtown. So, the standings for the Eastern Conference, which as we refer to as Candyland, number 1 was 2 Infinity and Bijan at 11-3. Number 2 was Quater Tots at 9-5. Number 3 was Flame Boys at 7-7. Number 4 was Mahomes Alone at 5-9. Tied with Watts on Wax Off at also 5-9. The Western Conference in Boomtown, we had yours truly, Gifted and Gorgeous, winning the division 10-4. You had I myself coming in second, Design Gifted 9-5. Strange Animals coming in third at 8-6. Team No Fine Please in fourth at 4-10. And then Team Bro Dog, of course, coming in last at 2-12. Brandon, I don't know what happened, bro. Figure it out. But no, going forward, let's talk about the power rankings and how those shaped out. Fantasy Football Power Rankings presented by Snickers. Overperformed, we had Gifted and Gorgeous overperforming from number 10, projected to finish number 2 at the end of the year. By the end of the year, 2 Infinity and Bijan overperforming 7 spots from number 8 to number 1. Design Gifted overperforming 5 spots from number 9 to number 4. And then underperforming, we had, of course, Team Bro Dog with his permanent residence in the underperforming category. Maybe his team needed a snicker, guys. I don't know. But Brandon was not himself this year, and neither was his team. So I believe, Brooklyn, that is the last thing that we had to talk about. So that being said, as we usually do, as I usually do, the platform is yours. Whatever you want to say, whatever you want to do with it, you get yourself however long you want to take and go ahead and say whatever you would like.
Okay, so the FFL team member has been one of the hardest, most interesting things I've probably done up to this point. At the beginning of the season, I was going and posting so much, it was constantly, and it was a little bit hard because no one sees women in fantasy football, not even myself. So there's a lot of disbelief, and it was very hard. recruiting people this year, but I ended up recruiting a lot of the people that are in this year. So it was actually really amazing to see what I was capable of doing. And I feel like I've gained so much knowledge this year that I've actually already been making plans for more weeks that we're going to do next year. I think that it was really cool to see how big the community grew this year, not only in the group chat on Facebook, but in the Discord, to see so many people actually active in Discord is really a disbelief, because once again, I did not know what Discord was whenever I started this, so it's really cool to see how it went, and being on the podcast is also really exciting for me. But overall, I think it was a really good season, and, you know, I'm excited to see who's going to take it in the 3DFFL, both of the $50 leagues, and obviously, of course, between Kevin Claus and Dylan Turpin in the $100 league. I'm very excited to see how that one ends as well. And then, of course, in the league, I'm very excited to see if you're going to take it or if you're going to have a girl win. So shout out to Herm.
Girl I'm excited power. To
see it. Either way, girl power, both queens, let's be honest. She is the queen of the league, unfortunately.
Go so, crazy.
It was awesome being here.
But you did do a fantastic job over the off season. Guys, such a good job that how many Facebook groups did we get banned from just because we're just so active in every
we
Facebook group
chat? Posting. Like, we were putting out, between the team and you and I, we probably put out at least a good 40 to 50 posts per day per group. So there's posts going out and constantly, and there's actually a lot of people that are like, why is this the same as this post? And it's like, because we have a whole team and you don't. You know? It was pretty exciting to see that and to see how many people have already, you know, reached out to me personally or in the group chat and have said, like, hey, playing in this league has been super awesome. I'm definitely going to play here next season. It's really awesome to see that, you know, the hard work from you, obviously, running, you know, the show by yourself and having so many awesome guests on the show. And then the group effort from all of the staff that we have working with us, it was really exciting to see what we were able to accomplish, because actually it was so last minute. We actually rushed to get it done this year, and we ended up filling an extra $50 a week, so it was just crazy.
In one day.
In one day, we filled a 12-team $50 a week in one day. Within 6 hours, because I remember it was towards the end of the night. So
yeah, shout out to Mike, shout out to Tony, shout out to everybody.
We couldn't have done it without, you know, Mike Ortiz and Tony. I don't remember, but I know, especially Tony, he brought in several friends to that last $50. So it was just kind of cool to see everything pull together. We have talked about opening up a higher money league next season at $250 buy-in. We also have talked about having a $25 buy-in, as well as continuing with the $50 and $100 league. So there's going to be a lot of exciting stuff coming with the 3DFL next season. So we hope that a lot of you guys will bring you to play with us.
And guys, if you want to see more of Brooklyn, you can also follow Gifted and Gorgeous on Facebook, and you can follow the page and you can follow the group where she is an admin there, and she is a member there as well. So go ahead and check out Gifted and Gorgeous and go see what that is all about. But
you won't regret it.
You definitely.
Gifted and Gorgeous is a really awesome platform where we're gifted and gorgeous. So go in there, you'll see gorgeous women, lots of memes, daily polls, which is my thing. There's kind of a question of the day, getting people to interact, you know, it's really fun, and I think you guys will like it. So, again, Gifted and Gorgeous on Facebook, join the group and follow the page, and it'd be really cool to somehow combine the 3DFFL with Gifted and Gorgeous one day. So, I hope to see some of y'all in.
Well, the 3DFFL season 3 is actually sponsored by Gifted and Gorgeous, as we mentioned earlier in the year in the podcast. So guys, you've been hearing about Gifted and Gorgeous all year. I've been telling you to go check it out. If you haven't already, you won't regret it. So like she said, they're gifted and gorgeous. It's the perfect blend. So other than that, I think that about wraps up the episode. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about before we jump off? Is there anything else that you need to plug?
But I just want to say good luck, everybody, and I'm looking forward to
winning the championship. Me too. No, but guys, it was a Brooklyn, thank you for being here with us. Guys, we got one episode left. This has been a longer season than what the other one was. We had actually tried a lot harder this year than I did last year, guys. Last year I didn't try. I couldn't afford to. I had a lot of things going on. We hit 200,000 streams on Spotify, as you guys know. Dropped an album the beginning of this year, so we're extremely busy. This year, I caught a break. I was able to actually try. Made it to the second round in the $100 league championship in this league. But what's different here? But guys, I am tired. So you may have heard the difference, the contrast, and the excitement. And in the fatigue a little bit, but I'm not ready for this to finish. If I could do this every week, I would. Tired or not, guys, this has probably been the most fun season that I've done so far. Having, as Brooklyn talked about, all the amazing guests on this year. Guys, you made this season way better than what I imagined it could be. And then, of course, the 3D FFL team members as well made it even better. And here we are, inching towards the last episode, inching towards the final week of the season, and where we are going to crown and cash out to a certain amount of players in each of the leagues. And I look forward to seeing what happens. I look forward to getting my second ring, wink, wink. But guys, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate y'all being here. Thank you for sticking with us. Till the we're in the final two episodes and you guys are still watching. We're in the playoffs. We're not even talking about everybody and you guys are still listening, still watching. So stick with us, guys. Stay with the community. I can't wait to see where we go going forward. All I know is we took a huge jump from season two to season three. So I can't even imagine the jump we're going to take from season three to four. As we continue to build the 3DFFL team, Gifted and Gorgeous continues to become stronger, more established, and so does the 3D Signs and Sports Podcast. So that being said, you guys go follow the 3D Signs and Sports Podcast on Spotify, follow on Facebook, follow Mia Made It. Mia Made It will be getting her own podcast channel talking about just wrestling. Guys, we got a lot of just different, new, exciting, fun things coming forward. So I appreciate you guys for sticking in here with us. Thank you. Thank you to all the guests who have been on, and we will catch you guys next week in the championship episode.
The realest underground entertainment, T-R-U-E, hashtag that, true. The realest underground entertainment, Your source for local music, your source for local marketing, hype, branding, exclusive experience. What do you need? What do you got? How can we help you? How can you help us? How can we help you? T-R-U-E, the realest underground entertainment, Rylo, Tone G, Merculation, D-I-G, J-B, Chach with the heat. Shout out to Villain Vision Music, A2J, Villain Vision Music, A2J, Villain Vision Music, A2J. Check out the Realest Underground Entertainment at True Records on YouTube, at the Realest Underground Entertainment on Facebook, and at Day One Vibes, the home of the Realest Underground Entertainment. Get at your boys.
Superstar producer Chach with the heat. You need beats, he's got the heat. Chach with the heat of the Realest Underground Entertainment. Find him at www.dayonevibes.com. Find him on YouTube. Find him on www.beatstars.com/chotchwiththeheat. Affordable beats, bangers, bangers, bangers after bangers. Chotch with the Heat of the realest underground entertainment is the one that you need. The one that you need. The one that you need. Any music artist, any genre, Chotch with the Heat of the realest underground entertainment. Chotch with the Heat of the realest underground entertainment. Chotch with the Heat of the realest underground entertainment. Contact Chotch with the Heat of the realest underground entertainment on Facebook at Chotch with the Heat, on YouTube at Chotch with the Heat, on Day One Vibes in the store tab, and on Facebook at Mario Chavera, and again on BeatStars at www.beatstars.com/chotchwiththeheat for all your music needs and all your music purposes. Chotch with the Heat of the realest underground entertainment. Recording, mastering, mixing, engineering, production, cover arts, music videos, anything you need, get at your boy Rye Low of the realest underground entertainment. Rye Low. Get at your boy Rye Low at Ryan Lopez on Facebook. Get at your boy at RyeLow361 on Twitter. For anything and everything music that you need, logos, you need music videos, you need commercials, you need cover arts for your music, you need merchandise, you need anything from the Day One Vibe Shop, anything from the realest underground entertainment, get at your boy Rylo of the realest underground entertainment, the realest underground entertainment, the realest underground entertainment.